Hello and welcome to another episode of Her Healthful. My name is Araste and I'm your host. Today we have a guest episode, which has been a very long time coming. I think my last episode with a guest was in September, so it has been quite a while, and today's episode is with one of my close friends, Noam Rader, who is a resident doctor right now and also a content creator, which is actually how we met. We met on Instagram about 3 years ago, I want to say. And we first just met each other doing a workout class, and ever since then we kept in touch, and now she lives in the same building as me, which is kind of crazy. But I'm sure if you follow either of us, you know that we have sort of similar content with obviously our own niche, and I'm just really excited for you to hear her on the pod. So I think I'm going to keep this intro relatively short. Maybe I'll just do a quick rose and thorn for the week before getting into the episode. So my rose for the past 2 weeks, I guess, has been that I have been just doing some home updates and organization and kind of just sprucing up the place. So a few things are changing in terms of furniture and like decor. And I just think I'm somebody who gets quite bored and used to things. So I need constant change. And I know that is not sustainable, but everything that I'm, you know, changing up, I'm just selling on Facebook Marketplace. It's not like I'm throwing it out. But it can be a bit of a hassle to do this often, so I'm trying to really go for pieces that are timeless and that I will love forever. But I would say the big thing is that we're just organizing so much. For example, on Sunday, we installed this new cabinet in one of our closets that basically has a lot of vertical space that we weren't using. So we got this cabinet from Amazon and installed it. And I don't know how this little cabinet just freed up so much space, brought us so much organization. And then from there, it was kind of like a domino effect. We moved some things into the cabinet and then another space freed up. And then I decided I needed to organize my whole washroom cabinet. And like, it was just a full day of reorganizing, but it felt so, so good. And I got rid of so many things that I just wasn't using. It was expired. It wasn't working for me in terms of skincare and makeup. So that felt really good because I feel like I hadn't cleaned out my makeup and skincare, my brushes, like so much of that was finally cleaned and I feel good about it. So spring cleaning, I highly recommend, and you don't even have to do one big day of it. That was kind of unplanned. I think I'm just going to do a little bit every weekend, so then it's not this huge thing that takes up my entire life. But yeah, therapy dupe is definitely getting rid of stuff. I felt so good after. And now that I have a pet, there's so many supplies and toys and cat litter that I have to find a place to store. So we finally figured it out and it's all good. My thorn for the past week has been probably that I'm just in a bit of an inspiration slump and I'm feeling kind of not as called to create content. And it's not that I'm not creating right now. It's more just like I am not as inspired as I usually am, which is fine. We all go through these phases, and I think we talk about this actually in this episode and some tips that either of us might have when we go through these periods. But yeah, I'm just trying not to force it. So if there's less content from me, that is why. We'll get through it. But anyways, I think the one thing that I'm really, really looking forward to is going to California at the end of this month. I'm so excited. I just think I need a change of scenery, change of routine, because I have been in the city for the whole year, which I know has only been 3 months, but I love traveling. And so I'm going at the end of the month with James, and it's like partially for a conference, but also for fun. So I'm really excited to get some sunshine and just some warm weather that I really, really need in my soul. Anyways, that's kind of all I have in terms of updates. And yeah, let's get into the episode. So today we talk about balance and how we both kind of balance having another full-time career slash school with content creation and just like how overwhelming that can get, but also how balance can mean something different for everybody. And it's not just like, you know, being 50-50 with certain aspects of life. It really is a subjective thing, which I thought was really interesting. And we talk a bit more about social media, the ups, the downs, and just have a conversation. So without further ado, let's get into the guest episode with Noam Rader.
Hello, everyone. I'm here with Noam, who's on the podcast for the second time. Thanks for coming on again.
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Noam and I met on Instagram a few years ago, and we now live in the same building, so
a lot has changed.
Yeah, but for those of you who don't know Noam, I'm just gonna ask you to do a little elevator pitch, kind of who you are, and yeah, whatever you want people to know about you.
I'll do my best. So my name is Noam. I'm 24 years old. I live in Toronto. I am a resident physician studying family medicine in my first year. So like intern, you'd call it in the States. I feel like I always need to clarify. And I'm also a content creator. I do kind of wellness and lifestyle content, really just about maintaining a happy, healthy, balanced lifestyle while in your busy 20s, no matter what career you're in. And yeah, what else about me? I'm a Gemini. I love chocolate and puppies.
Oh my gosh, we need to go back to puppy yoga.
I was just thinking that.
We have to.
It's like, what's brought me joy lately?
Yeah.
And like chocolate puppies and brie cheese.
Oh yeah, we just had some brie. It was so good.
So good.
We wanted to kind of have each other again on the pod. I just recorded with Noam's podcast and I'll link it in the show notes. But yeah, I think we always just like have so much to talk about. We can make so many podcast episodes. But today I want to talk about balance and also social media, and those come in hand, especially for both of us. But to start things off, I wanted to ask you, when do you feel the most balanced in your life, and have you felt that recently?
That's such a good question. I think what I've learned as I've gotten older is that balance means so many different things to different people, and I think something I try to really take into account with my content and like balance it off the idea of like burnout and just like capacity for work and just like what your ideal life looks like. And I think for a lot of people, when you talk about balance and wellness, talk about like routines and like your wellness rituals and all these things. But I think for me, sometimes when I feel the most kind of balanced, but also just like the most well, is when I'm not necessarily like doing the same thing every day. Like I think I'm just someone who likes to do like different things and like keep my brain stimulated in that way. And I think when I find myself that I'm like happiest and most fulfilled is when I have like different things going on, but also having, of course, those healthy boundaries and those things that ground me, but not getting too caught up in like, well, I need to work out every day at 6 a.m. It's like, well, I want to move my body in some way at some point of the day. So I think I actually feel my most balanced and well when like I'm less regimented in my routine, but I also have like that flexibility and free time to like let myself kind of explore.
So do you think you felt that lately? Because I totally agree about the different definitions of balance, which was like kind of prompted me to ask you that. And it's interesting how you say you thrive off of like
kind like of like semi-chaos.
Yeah, semi-chaos and semi just like newness.
Yeah.
You know?
Have I had that recently? I think yes, like not the most and the best it's ever been, but yes, to a degree. I mean, I think a function of like being in medicine or in residency more specifically is that like every month we change rotations and I essentially have like a new job every month that has like different scheduling, different hours, different work responsibilities. So I feel like the one I was just on gave me like a little bit of that, although it was like essentially more of like a 9 to 5 Monday to Friday sort of situation, which is I know the reality for most people like in the world, but it's not usually for me because most other rotations are like sometimes 9 to 5, sometimes you work overnight and then you get the next day off, and then sometimes you do like a clinic of this and then you do a clinic of that and then you have teaching and like different things going on in the week. And I actually like that better. I realized after working a 9 to 5 because I kind of like the change and a little bit of chaos.
I was just about to say that seems very well suited to what you just described in terms of wanting newness and change.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not going to be always like that for you once you do like go into like your full-time job and you're done residency.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, I just think with you having your medical career and also having content, like that in itself is a lot of newness in so many different ways.
Yeah, I don't think I ever see myself doing just one thing mm-hmm. when I get older. And I think it's like, yes, there's obviously like parts of your job or parts of life that like are just the way they are and you have to accept it and you're not going to love everything about what you do. Yeah. But I think like getting to know yourself and like not only kind of listening to like what society deems as like balance or wellness or even more so like what society deems as like quote unquote successful. I'm like doing air quotes and I realize you guys can't see me. Is really important because then you could start to tailor that and start to make those decisions about where you take your career and not just your career, but like your life choices to give you that. Because there's literally nothing wrong if you tell me that you actually love having the exact same routine mm-hmm. every day and that makes you feel well and comfortable and gives you that flexibility to explore different things. And like, don't get me wrong, I still like plan out my day to a degree. I'm still quite a type A person, mm-hmm. but I just realized that I am happier when I'm doing different things, but also when I'm busy. And I think that that's like a whole other conversation of like people have just like different capacities of how much is too much work for them or too much stimulation for them. Like we talk about that all the time when it comes to like being extroverted versus introverted. Like we all know that conversation of some people want more social stimulation, some people want less. And we're all like, oh yeah, okay, we get mm-hmm. that. But like we don't really talk about that as much when it comes to, let's say, how much do people like want to work. And it's so okay if you say, I actually don't really like working that much. I need a lot of time to just veg out on the couch and like do nothing. Like, great, fine. Some people say they love to work and they love to stay busy and that makes them more fulfilled. So it's like, it's not that prescriptive, but just like find what works for you. And I think it's such a thoughtful question what you started with of just like, when do you feel your most well? And I feel like something yeah. I need to reflect on even more.
Yeah, no, I think it's really easy to just ask somebody like, well, like, how do you balance your life and what's your routine? And then you don't realize that like your threshold of like working and resting might be different from mine. Mm-hmm. And that's so fair. But I wanted to ask you about like the fine line between working too much because you enjoy it and like toxic hustle culture mm-hmm. and just like not knowing when you're passing that boundary and when you're just like, yeah, like I love it, but also like you're burning yourself out and not realizing yeah. it.
Well, I think it's like the first part is like when you start finding yourself switching from the I get to the I have to mindset. Mm. And I feel like I catch myself doing that. And just like when you wake up like not excited about your day, whether that's work or just like other things you're doing that day, if it's the weekend, like the biggest part of burnout, or not the biggest part, but one of those components is just like not finding that joy that you used to in your daily thing, is like being really cynical. And when you find yourself doing that, just kind of checking yourself. But I think also just like not letting it necessarily like get to that point mm-hmm. and like trying to like clock yourself kind of along the way. And I think something that's helped me do that is like as someone who I find myself wanting to stay busy. I don't get me wrong. Like I love a good Netflix show and I love my free time going with my friends, but like I like doing things in my free time. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just not the person who loves to just watch TV all day, and that's fine if you are.
Yeah.
But I find that scheduling things that are fun and unproductive into my day keeps me busy in a way that's not going to necessarily burn me out. And like something I've spoken a lot about on my social media platforms lately is just like having unproductive hobbies, and find that again mm-hmm. as an adult, because I didn't have hobbies for years. Like I think from like 18 to like 22, I don't think I had a hobby. And that question would really stress me out when you were like in an interview or
what's
like
your hobbies?
Like writing a CV. It's like, what do you do outside of school, or what do you do outside of work? And you're like, I don't know, like my extracurriculars.
Yeah, like, you feel like I've done everything for this.
I guess I go with my friends sometime on the yeah. weekend, but like actually like putting your energy into something that like is not a means to an end, like it's just a means. So for me, it's like I've really been enjoying like going to pottery classes or painting and like just doing creative things that like I am not that good. Like no one's ever mm-hmm. gonna buy my paintings or my pottery, so they're just for me. So I think like you also just have to meet yourself where you're at. Like if you're not the person who's just gonna be like great at just like relaxing and doing nothing, like work on that, make that mm-hmm. a goal to like know how to relax. But in the meanwhile, also be like, okay, well, like find your strengths and work with them rather than work against them when trying to find that balance in your lifestyle.
Yeah, no, those are all such great points you made. And I feel like just on that last point of like playing to your strengths, for me, what personally helps, I live with like my partner, and like regardless if you live with them or not, I think like other people can sometimes make you aware of maybe certain things you're doing, or like if they see you burning yourself out. Like mm-hmm. for me, I want to do like 10 things at the same time, and then James is like, okay, like just choose one. Like, if you do two mm-hmm. today, that's fine. But I think sometimes it's helpful for other people to just, like, nudge you and just, like, be like, hey, you know, I noticed this or whatever. And sometimes it can be easy to be defensive or reactive and be like, well, no, like, I actually can do this. Like, what are they saying? Mm-hmm. But flipping that switch and just being like, well, maybe they're just trying to help me and maybe it's for my best. I think something I'm working on in terms mm-hmm. of just, like, not being defensive or reactive and being, like, I know we're both very independent people, so it's hard sometimes to mm-hmm. to take that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's, like, a whole kind of separate conversation you have to, like, go on a tangent off of, but, like, and everyone's situation is different, but what I found for myself is, like, especially when it comes to relationships and also friendships, is, like, not only surrounding yourself or, like, being in a relationship with people who are similar to you in that sense and, like, finding someone to kind of balance you and, like, give you that perspective, because I feel like our boyfriends, as we always tell them, are very similar yeah. and they refuse to admit it, but we totally have that same conversation. Or I, like, find myself saying things to him and then when I say them out loud, I'm like, that was awful. Yeah. Like, sometimes I'm like, you're so slow. Like, not even like you're just walking slowly yeah. or like you're just cooking slowly and you're just, like, la-di-dying throughout your day because yeah. he's just so much more type B than me. And I'm like,
oh, 100%.
No, I'm that's like, awful.
Let's get it going.
Let him enjoy yeah, his yeah, cooking. Yeah.
Like, and also I'm just like, I don't know, for me, I need to stop acting like there's always a rush.
I know. I always feel like I'm running late.
Have to do something. Like, James is like, can we just, like, make our dinner on a Saturday night and not feel like we're rushing? I don't know. It's just, like, the mentality of, like, a to-do list and, like, getting things done and doing the next thing. But sometimes I just need to slow down.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when I was in high school, my friends would always make fun of me that, like, I'd walk through the halls like I was always on a mission. Like, I always had somewhere to be and I was always late. And I, like, didn't think about it much at the time. But lately, I definitely am still like yeah. that. Like, I definitely still walk like I got somewhere to
be. I see that in you. Yeah, for sure. But that makes you well-suited for, like, your profession. I feel like you got to be, you know, snappy
yeah,
and
so
on.
It's...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's all such a fine balance. And I feel like I'm going to say that a million times in this episode and, like, not have the actual answers. But it's, like, owning your strengths and, like, sometimes these things that, like, can be negative, like being super, like, liking to stay busy, being really organized and really, like, scheduled, like, that obviously can go in a negative direction. Mm-hmm. But also, like, don't beat yourself up about it too much, because a lot of the time, like, if you are that kind of person, those things have benefited you a lot in your life. Mm-hmm. And, like, learn to not, like, also shame on them, because I think, like, sometimes I get into that habit as well of, like, I need to just, like, stop scheduling everything and I need to just, like, be super typey. Yeah. And, like, no, it's okay to just, like, be who you are. Yeah. But, like, like we said before, find those, like, flag posts. So, like, when is it going a little mm-hmm. too far? And I don't know. I feel like it's always a work in progress. I don't really have the answer.
I think an extreme of anything is, like, not going to be good.
Yeah.
Whether it's, like, you being super, super organized. Like, yes, being organized is great. But then to a point where you can't say yes to spontaneous plans, like, mm-hmm. probably not the best. Mm-hmm. So for my next question, just, like, I know your definition of balance looks different, but, like, what tips do you have for balance, like, in your mm-hmm. life or, like, for other people who are looking to achieve that and they have, like, different passions and, like, mm-hmm. different avenues of stuff?
I think, like, the biggest piece of advice or, like, the perspective that's changed the most for me sounds, like, super simple, but honestly I find so effective is just, like, whether it's wellness or your hobbies, but, like, these things that you want to add more time for in your day and you feel like you're not getting to do enough of because you're focusing on school or your career or your responsibilities, but really just defining them as an equal priority to these responsibilities. So it's not like career and then, like, if I have time, workout, or, like, career, but maybe if I can, seeing my friends here and there. Mm-hmm. Like, I just see it all as equal at this point. And, like, yes, there's times in your life where something's got to give. Like, there's busier times with your degree or in your job or just, like, busier seasons or whatever it might be. Where, yeah, maybe you're not working out 3 days a week and you're working out once a week. Or maybe you haven't gone to see all your friends as much as you can. But there's also times where you can prioritize those things instead. So it's not always a perfect balance, but really seeing them as non-negotiables and, mm-hmm. like, you're going to make it work the same way that you're going to wake up and get to work on time. You're also going to make it to your workout class on time. And just, like, reframing that. And I think I found that difficult at first because for so long in, like, the academic world, like, that's not what you're told to do. Yeah. You're told that school is number one. And especially, like, if you're, which I guess most people are, unless I don't know where you live, but you're paying for your degree. And I mean, Canada's not even that bad compared to mm-hmm. the States, but I think something a lot of people can also relate to from like talking to them is like, if you're from an immigrant family and like your parents sacrifice a lot to bring you to the country, you're like, well, I gotta make school my number one priority. They not only are like helping me pay for my degree, but they also like sacrifice so much to be here. So I think like reframing that and also just realizing that nurturing yourself and putting yourself first will only make you more successful. Like my grades only got better mm-hmm. when I stopped overworking myself. And same thing goes with like my career satisfaction and so on. So yeah, just convince yourself, like it takes time, but like wake up every day and be like, it's just as important to take care of myself as it is to like do well on my exam. Like they're equal. And just let that guide your decisions.
Yeah, there's so many like amazing nuggets in there that I want to talk about more, but just the point about like school and having, because I feel like there's a lot of students listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, like, I don't know, I say this a lot, and I'm just like, for me, like, undergrad or even high school, like, it feels like that was harder than grad school in some ways. Like, I don't know. It just mm-hmm. seems like there was so much going on. There was, like, so many exams. Like, it was always stressful, and, like, you were surrounded by people who were, like, also such, like, high go-getters. And, like, it was, like, this, I don't know, community of everybody wanting to succeed, right? So, for somebody who's, like, maybe similar path where it's like they have to satisfy their parents or like everything is like riding on their grades and like it is really important to them. How do you just start to put maybe not less priority, but like treat your other avenues of life as also important? Because I think for me, when I was in university, like I didn't really work out that much and it was like sort of a shift to be like, okay, like I got to take care of my body. But what are some small changes maybe somebody who like over prioritizes school to a point where they don't see friends or like they don't make time for anything else? What can they do to yeah. kind of get to that point?
I think like what helped me, and this might not apply to everyone, but I'm a very like logical person, and to convince myself to do something, I need to like see the logic in it.
Mm.
And I think for me, recognizing like once I kind of started dabbling in like the idea of wellness and like living a healthy lifestyle and like reading for me like research about how it's so important for your health, for your productivity, your brain health, like all that kind of stuff, like I think that it doesn't need to be what drives you every day, of course, like it should also be for just like things you enjoy, but like that I think can help if you were trying to convince yourself to start doing that. Because if you really convince yourself like, yes, I want to get good grades, but taking a break to go to the gym, when you come back, like it's known that you're going to be yeah. more productive and you're going to retain more of that information. We know that getting good quality sleep helps you memorize things. Like if you want to memorize things for your exam, you should be getting those 8 hours of sleep. You need to be doing that consolidation, using that mm-hmm. hippocampus, like all mm-hmm. that, like you need those things. So if that's what it takes to kind of get you over that hump to like start making these lifestyle changes, like convince yourself from that logical perspective. And again, it's not, I think, something that needs to like drive it and like give it longevity to this lifestyle, but like sometimes like making it like a challenge for yourself, you know, like if you're someone who really values like discipline, like make that something that kind of drives you to do these things. Like I'm going to prove to myself that I can sleep 8 hours a night, or I'm going to prove to myself that like when it hits 7 o'clock on Saturday night, I close my textbook and go hang out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like if that's what it takes, is making that kind of more scheduled, stringent mentality on it at first, like that might be somewhere to start. I feel like it's kind of where I started, and like it wasn't necessarily always smooth sailing from that perspective. Like I don't think it's necessarily the best perspective, but I think it can help. And like you don't have to wait till you have like the perfect mindset or the perfect yeah. anything to get started.
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like what you're saying is kind of like tapping into what would work for your personality. Like you said, you're a very logical person. It made sense to go to research articles and show mm-hmm. yourself that this is good for you. Yeah, I would say like maybe if you are a very like more emotional person or something, like think about, do you want maybe 5 years down the line your whole life to be your career?
Mm-hmm.
And like that's just it in your day and your week. So think about, you know, different ways where you can maybe tap into that side, and that will make you realize today that like, no, school shouldn't be your whole life. There's different avenues. Like obviously when you grow older, you want to have things that are not just your career. So I think the theme here is like find what would convince you
Yeah.
If you were trying to convince a friend or whoever it was.
Yeah, like work with yourself, not against yourself. Yeah. And I think it goes back to like how we started the conversation of like, I think in society or social media, however you want to put it, like there's a very like clear cut, almost like prescriptive way people talk about wellness these days. And that just doesn't need to be the case. So don't try to like mold yourself into this ideal like wellness girly you see on social media. Like make it work for you and your lifestyle. But I think all that being said, like the really important caveat is like you can't always be externally motivated. Like we know that extrinsic motivation is not going to be long lasting. So maybe you can get that spark going to give yourself those rewards. And I guess intrinsic motivation is essentially like when you're motivated to do something by an external reward or an external process. So whether it's like better grades or like looking a certain way for working out, money, validation, etc., or even like to feel that success of like hitting that goal, like that's also extrinsic motivation in a sense. But like also make sure you're finding that intrinsic motivation of like, why do I do it? Why do I enjoy doing it just for the sake of doing it? And make sure you work on that thought process as well. Because if you don't work on it at the beginning, you're just going to have to work on it later. And it's just going to take longer. Yeah. So I feel like it's something I wish I knew at the beginning.
Yeah. And intrinsic motivation is always just like, that's going to be the longevity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's going to be long lasting. And extrinsic, like, I don't know, wanting to make more money is only going to last so long.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to, the fuel's going to run out. But yeah, those are some great tips for like students or just like anybody who is struggling to balance things. So in terms of your different avenues, you're obviously a resident doctor and you're doing social media, and I'm sure you're doing so many other things, but for balancing those two, like that's a niche in itself. So are there certain things you do to balance going in every day and being on call with the totally flip side of creating content and planning that out?
Yeah, I mean, I think like for both and really for like everything in life, like something my dad said to me, which is not like renowned or remarkable in any way, but when I was like, I think in high school or undergrad, but he was like, no, you need to work smarter, not harder. And like, that was it. And it's the same we all hear, but it like really stuck with me since of like, I think so often we think that the more time and effort you put into something, the better it's going to be. But I think like letting go of that pressure and finding ways to like be creative with how you work allows you to do so much more. And I think that's twofold. Like one is like editing content when I'm like on the shuttle on the way to work, or like also the fact that like a lot of my content surrounds my lifestyle. Like it's not like I am trying to create, like, let's say like just fashion content where I have to like think of new outfits and like style them every day. Like I really just post like my day and what I'm doing and like what feels authentic to me. And I think that makes it easier in that sense. But it also goes for like studying. Like you don't necessarily need to be like, I used to like rehandwrite all my notes. Like no, find effective ways to study, like flashcards or practice tests or so on. And then I think also just like letting go of that need to feel like you're doing everything perfectly in order to do it. And I think it's something like, I don't think it's a huge thing I've struggled with in the past. I know some people definitely can feel that more, but just the concept of perfectionism, like I definitely used to be a lot more of a perfectionist than I am now. But I think like just remind yourself that things don't need to be perfect. And if you're trying to do everything perfectly, you'll never get everything done. That's just a matter of fact. So it's okay if you're not every piece of content you make is like the best thing you've ever made, or like maybe you lost a couple points on your exam. Like that's okay too. Like letting go of that, I think, helps as well. But I think like other than that, it goes back to like having like to-do lists, having schedules, having form of structure in your life. Like as much as I was talking about earlier, how letting go of that makes me feel more well-rounded. You have to have some level of that at the end of the day and some level of organization, or like you will just never stay on top of things.
Yeah. Like we could be here telling you all about our planners and to-do lists and everything, but I feel like what's more helpful is just like what you said about letting go of the control and perfectionism of, if you're going to have these different passions and different avenues of life, like you just have to accept that they are not going to be perfect, but that's kind of worth it in itself to have the multiple things, you know. I would rather have multiple things and have them be imperfect than just that one thing for the rest of my life. I feel like both of our personalities would not thrive off of that. And I think people kind of, at least nowadays, are liking the more imperfect side of things, at least on social media. So that kind of works in your favor as well. But is there one sort of like tool or like Google Calendar, planner, like one thing where you're like, this is like, you need this if you're going to balance two things at once?
I think the only thing I consistently use is, like, I use my calendar on my, like, laptop, like, mm-hmm. iCal or whatever.
Yeah.
We spoke about this the other day.
I know.
I go through phases. I think in my truest form, I am actually a very disorganized person. And, like, I think back to, like, me as a kid, like, I was not an organized kid. My room was a mess. I've always lost everything. Like, I was a kid to lose their homework, lose their backpack, lose their phone. I've lost so many phones in my life. Like, I think some people are born organized people. I don't think I was. Mm-hmm. I think I, like, had to learn to be, because school and, like, academic achievement was something that became really important to me. So I was like, well, I'm going to have to learn to be a little type A. So I think the only thing I consistently use and, like, would probably die without, that's dramatic, maybe, is just, like, a calendar. Like, I put everything into my calendar that I can't forget. That being said, when I go through phases where I'm, like, more on top of my organization and I actually use my planner, I can tell I'm so much more productive. Like, it relieves so much of, like, a mental toll in your day when you can just, like, have things written down and just check them off the list. But, like, that's, like, also the reality of it. Like, if you're not naturally organized like I am, like, that's fine. Like, my goal is on Monday, I'm going to start using my planner again. And I haven't for 3 months, but I'm going to start again.
Yeah.
And start from scratch and work from there. But, yeah, I think just, like, find what works for you. But it doesn't have to be, like, some fancy, like, color-coded agenda.
It doesn't have to be aesthetic. It can be a piece of paper.
Yeah. And I have to-do lists on my notes app. They're so messy.
Me too.
There's, like, seven of them going at the same time.
They're, like, half-finished ones.
Yeah. Like, I don't have one nice one.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm messy organized at the moment. But at least I'm doing that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I like that you said that you recognize that you are naturally disorganized. Like, it's, like, you've accepted it, but you can still try to, like, use tools and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I think nowadays all of us have so much going on. And, like, you need to know when an event's happening or when you're working just to, like, have that sanity. But yeah, you can always, like, you don't have to wait for January 1st. You don't have to wait for, like, you know, the next month or whatever. You can start literally on a Wednesday, like, whatever makes sense to you. And I think just, like, use them as tools and don't spend more time planning versus doing.
I think that's kind of where I fall into the trap too. And also where I fall into the other side of it, of, like, whenever I'm like, oh, I know I should write my calendar, like, Sunday night, I'm like, but I just want to go to bed.
I know.
And go to sleep.
It's just easier.
Yeah. So, like, find things that are low. Like, again, it goes back to working smarter, not harder. Like, if it's going to take you 20 minutes to, like, plan your week every Sunday, like, maybe that's not sustainable for you if you're just like, I don't want to spend 20 minutes Sunday doing that. Maybe 20 minutes is fine for you. But then just, like, find something that takes 5 minutes, you know, or, like, 2 minutes every day.
Or do it, like, the night before for the next day if you don't want to do your whole week at one time.
Yeah.
Because that can be overwhelming as well. Like, I know I've had those weeks where I'm like, I'm going to book all my workout classes. And then I end up missing one because I forgot.
I miss every single one when I do that. I had to stop.
So then it's like I got charged and it's just like, hey, that didn't work for me. I learned from that. And I think a lot of it is, like, trial and error. And you realize it, that something didn't work for you that maybe you saw online. And it's just, like, finding your own thing.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah, so just, like, shifting gears a little bit, I wanted to just touch a bit on social media and talking a bit about that because I know a lot of people are curious. So just, like, in terms of an estimate, how much time in a week do you think you spend on content? And I know this probably differs week to week, brand deals, like, all of that, but, like, if you had an estimate.
That's such an interesting question because I feel like, and it's such a weird thing to wrap your head around, but, like, part of being a content creator is you need to consume content.
I know.
In order to, like, stay up to date with, like, trends and, like, gain inspiration and, like, it's a whole other conversation of, like, it's not about, like, copying other people's content, but, like, as, like, someone who, like, as a creative person, you need to, like, see other creative things to, like, be inspired and evolve, or you'll always just end up doing the same thing. So it's, like, a weird thing to think about because, like, does me scrolling on TikTok count?
As work? Yeah.
I don't know. We can say it doesn't. And I'd say if it doesn't, then, like, maybe on a good day, or not a good day, but, like, on a day where I'm working less, like, an hour in terms of, like, just posting a few stories and maybe uploading something. But, like, if I'm editing something, that's another few hours, or meeting with my manager. But I feel like, at least the equivalent of, like, my weekend. Like, if I have the weekend off, my weekend is really just, like, working on social media stuff, which, like, maybe isn't the healthiest.
Yeah.
But, again, I enjoy it.
No, exactly.
So,
and, like,
mind.
We started it as a hobby as well.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to remind myself of that. But I don't know. I think sometimes people ask me this and they're just like, well, how much time do you spend if you're also, like, doing your PhD? And, like, for you, if you're also a doctor. And I'm like, you find like these little nuggets of time where you're like, okay, I have 15 minutes. Like, yeah. I can edit this. Like, let's go.
No, that's literally it.
So I think, yeah, like the scrolling, I'm like, yeah, that does not count. And then I get the, I think it's like what, every Sunday at 9, you get the screen time. Like, oh, you were
7% up from last week. Great.
Like, stop reminding me that. I do not need to know. But yeah, that's just like interesting to hear from like another creator, like how much time is spent. I think it's like a part-time job. The hours.
Yeah.
If you don't count the scrolling, but then at the same time, I'm like, I'm doing 2 full-time jobs right now.
I don't know if it's a part-time job, honestly.
Like, you think it's not enough to be a part-time job, or you think it's more than?
I think it's more.
Yeah, I don't know, though, because I think
it depends
the
week.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
I was just going to say, like, week by week, it's different.
But, like, I'd say, like, at least a full work day, Saturday and Sunday, if
yeah.
I'm not working, my, like, if I'm not in the hospital, and then, like, a few hours every night.
Yeah.
That it's, like...
It adds up.
I wouldn't say, like, I'm putting in full-time hours, but...
Or, like, the effort of, like, my other side of my life, like, it's not the same.
No.
But still, it's a lot. So, when did you start your account, and, like, is what inspired you to start that in the beginning the same reason why you are going right now?
Yeah, I mean, I started my account in, like, December of 2019. So, like, just a few months before the pandemic. We measure our time with that, I know. But I was in med school. I was, like, 4 months into med school, my first year. And I'd, like, had a social media account in, like, second year of undergrad, like, a few years earlier, where I, like, posted healthy recipes just because I enjoyed it. And then I deleted it because I was, like, embarrassed of it and whatever. But then I was in med school and I was really loving it. Like, it was not at all that, like, I feel like people are like, oh, you started as, like, an escape. Like, not at all. I was honestly thriving. That first year of med school was so fun before we got all sent home and everything was ruined. But I felt myself becoming really, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, entrapped in a bubble, in a sense of, like, being surrounded with a lot of very similar people, like, similar to myself and similar to each other. Obviously, people have individual differences, mm-hmm. but with the same overarching
bubble,
interest.
Yeah.
And, like, medicine is such a taxing career in the sense of, like, not only time commitment, but also, like, emotional commitment. Like, everyone always talks about how you trauma bond with your friends in med school. Mm. And, like, it's true. Like, you read about trauma bonding, like, in the army, and then you, like, think about, like, oh, no, that's exactly
like
what
that.
Happened. So it really, it's really easy for it to become your whole life and become your whole identity. And if you are listening and you know anyone who is, like, a med student or, like, a doctor, you know that, like, at least when they were, like, early on, like, a med student's all they talked about for a while. Like, it just becomes your whole identity. And again, as much as I was, like, so happy to be there and so grateful, it's something I've wanted for so long, I didn't want it to be my whole identity because I knew that that wasn't the only thing I, like, liked about myself or only part of myself that I wanted to explore. Like, I didn't know I wanted to be a doctor for my whole life. Like, I wanted to be an artist and a video editor and an author. And, like, there's so many other parts of me that I didn't want to just let go. So I wanted just to have kind of an outlet that was separate from work and kind of just something that, like, and it's obviously changed over time, so I guess we'll get to that. But, like, at the time, something that, like, wasn't productive, that I wasn't doing to, like, get ahead in my career, something that I was just fun and something that I felt brought value and was meaningful to me while also being fun, but not something that, like, was for my career and productive. And I think that leads to the next question of, like, is what you started, how you're still doing it? Because, like, the answer to that is an obvious no.
Yeah.
Because now, as much as I genuinely still enjoy creating content, it isn't unproductive anymore because it's no longer just a means. It's a means to an end to, and sometimes, right? Like, it's for, like, making more side income from it, for, like, connecting with more people, for how can it help benefit, like, my career as a physician in the future. But at the time, I just wanted genuinely something to kind of, like, escape and have that outlet. And then I think now that it's become a bit more of a productive thing for me, I think I just, like, find that outlet in different ways. But yeah, that's why I started it, essentially.
Yeah, I feel like you wanted something totally separate
mm-hmm.
and more, I don't know, kind of showcasing you and your different areas of life, which, yeah, we both started as wellness girlies, and obviously that's evolved, and I feel like with any page or just in life in general, you evolve and you change your content. So speaking of content, in terms of creating it, do you ever go through content ruts? And if you do, like, what do you do? Do you force yourself to make content? Do you just, like, take a break and you're like, you know what, like, I'm just gonna lay low and not do that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about content ruts?
That's a good question. I feel like it depends. Like, I think sometimes I take the approach of, like, just don't do anything, just like step back, let it go. And other times I try to like push through, and I feel like the fine balance is not like pushing through when it like genuinely like is not enjoyable mm-hmm. and like uncomfortable, but just like trying new things, trying new types of content. If it does badly, like that's fine. Mm-hmm. Maybe scrolling a bit more, kind of brainstorming ideas. I think for me, stepping away completely doesn't really help because it doesn't help me like kind of get those creative juices flowing. But that being said, I think something else that also really helps, which is not always as feasible for me, but it's just like changing up your daily routine. So like, I think the most like classic one, and the one that again, I think is like not always the most attainable, is like for me traveling and not necessarily like leaving the country, even just going on like a day trip to a new city, or like even exploring a new part of your own city, just like helps like break your routine and like provide you inspiration that's not like your daily life. Yeah. If that's kind of getting mundane to you, because it's like kind of tangential, but I think something that I struggle with sometimes is like my life is so boring to me because I live it every day. Yeah. And I'm like, no one like, cares no one's gonna, yeah. about me going to work.
Especially like posting the same thing. You're like, okay, well, I'm not going to post a story that I just posted yesterday, but it's like I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah. And then I always get when I'm like, oh, what kind of content people want more of? They're like, oh, I want more of just like your daily life. I'm like, really?
I'm like, it's not that interesting.
But like, it's remembering that like, it's not interesting to you.
Yeah, because you live it.
Yeah, but I think a way to kind of get you out of that is like to change up your daily routine. So like, yes, it can be like, if obviously if you can like book a trip, that's the best way. But also like trying something new, like maybe it's cooking a new recipe mm-hmm. or trying a new hobby or hanging out with a friend you haven't seen in a while who can like change your perspective a little bit. Just trying to like step outside of like your daily routine, I think is really helpful. So that can be through like scrolling through different types of content, but it can also be like, I think more ideally through your actual life.
Yeah. Have you heard of the concept of like identity capital and just like building yes. that up? Yeah. Like I feel.
I was just talking about this with someone. I love this topic.
Yeah, I know. So it's just like the idea of kind of like doing more things, seeking out more experiences that builds you up to be a more interesting person in a way. So for example, travel could be one of them. And with all these, you know, things that you do, whether it's a workout class, a hobby, like pottery or traveling, like you just become more of an interesting person and you build up these experiences to then be a part of your identity. And I think it doesn't have to be as huge as traveling if that's not within your budget or like you can't do that with your work. But it can be something like trying a new hobby or even like exploring a new part of your city, like in Toronto, if you want to go to a different area that you've never been to. Just like things that would make you more interesting mm-hmm. and like have more stories to share with people.
Yeah. Or just say yes more.
Yeah, I agree. Say yes. Have your boundaries, but like also don't be afraid to try new things. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to just ask one last question. In terms of your passion and how you started your page, obviously that was to, you know, showcase the different parts of you and have something separate from your career. And say somebody has that and they like have the motivation and everything, but they're scared of what people are gonna think. And there's just like something stopping them from starting their page. Like what's like one or two pieces of advice you would give that person and like help them overcome that?
Yeah, I think I definitely relate to that because I wanted to start like doing social media when I was in med school for like way before I actually did it. Because I think at baseline, like anyone, I feel like this is such a common thing, but we all are like so scared to start posting because like what are people in your life gonna think? But I think that's even magnified when you're in certain careers where that's just like looked down upon, like really a lot of just like male dominated careers. And that's a whole other story why that's related. But I definitely was really nervous to start and like it being seen as unprofessional or like silly or like, why are you not being productive? Because productivity and like being 100% a med student is unfortunately really valued by a lot of people in that field. So I think like the most important piece of advice that kind of helped me get through that is just that like not everyone's opinion is equal mm-hmm. and you don't have to listen to everyone's opinion. Like they can have an opinion and you should listen in the sense of like actually hear it, take it in, but you don't need to follow it. And you should really only be taking advice from people who you want to be more like. Mm-hmm. So like someone can tell me, oh, well, like I wouldn't do social media because it would take away from like how much dedication I put into like becoming like the best doctor ever and like have the most research articles, whatever. But if I look at their life and I'm like, okay, that works for you and maybe you're happy, but I don't want to live the life that you're living, then why would I take advice that person to like align myself more in their life's direction? So really just be conscious of the advice that you take. And it might, not even saying that people are ill-meaning in their advice, they might genuinely mean well, because for them this would not be a good idea, but you're your own individual person, and like just take it with a grain of salt. And then I think the other part is that like no one, what the proper saying is, like, no one who is doing more than you will ever criticize you. And I just like the kind of what I take that to mean is like, if someone's taking the time to like say negative things about what you're doing or pass judgment, especially like, unless you're doing something that's like bad, unless you're like, if you're using social media for like bad things, mm-hmm. sure. But like, if someone's taking the time to like make fun of you or like talk behind your back, like they just have nothing going on in their life. Yeah. And frankly, like there's, whether it's doing social media or just a different passion that they wish they could pursue, but don't have the courage to do so, like they're probably just jealous that you're taking that leap and that you're finding that courage in yourself, knowing that people might have something bad to say. Like no one who's fulfilled and happy and like takes the time to like talk negatively about other people. Mm-hmm. So just feel bad for them and don't listen to their opinion.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And I think obviously bad is usually stronger than good. And so those comments can just like be stronger in your mm-hmm. head, or like the what ifs and what people are thinking. But at the end of the day, like, you can't and you shouldn't want to please everybody. No, like, this should be for you.
But also, if everyone likes you, then you're not doing anything different.
No, exactly. And you're being, I don't know, like, very vanilla, because you are just, like, kind of suiting to everybody. And that's, like, no person is going to suit to everyone.
Yeah, well, I think it's, like, not about, like, being polarizing and, like, making people angry on purpose. Like, not at all. But, like, if everyone's just, like, okay with you, like you don't, like I'd rather some people love me and other people hate me than everyone just like not really care about like what I'm doing or what I have to say, because like I guess that's fine, but if your goal is to like make an impact and actually change the way things work or change your own life or whatever it might be, but if you want change in any manner, like you have to be at least a little bit polarizing, you know, because otherwise that means you're just like going along with what society is doing and just kind of following blindly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like not being afraid to share your own opinions. Yeah, no, those were some great tips. And I feel like it would have been helpful for like me or you to have that person to be like,
well,
hey,
I wish.
Like you can do this, because I feel like I would have started, you know, maybe years in advance. But, you know, we're here now. And if you're out there like wanting to start, just do it. It will be a learning curve. And I'm still learning literally every day.
Every day.
But yeah, so I like to end guest episodes with just like fun rapid fire questions for people to get to know you a bit more.
Okay.
So you said your astrology sign at the start, but what is your big three and do you resonate with it?
Okay. I always get them confused, but I think sun is like your main one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So my sun is a Gemini. My rising is a Libra and my moon is a Sagittarius. And I'm not like the biggest expert with mm-hmm. zodiac signs.
If there's like one trait from each that like is you.
Like I think for a Gemini, what I resonate with is just kind of like being kind of like positively chaotic mm-hmm. is kind of how I see
that
it. Like
in you.
Doing lots of different things and being multifaceted and like having like high energy at all times. Mm-hmm. Not at all times, but at most times. I think I kind of take that for granted. I don't realize that not everyone like always wants to do things.
Yeah.
And then I think with the Libra rising, if I'm not mistaken, they really value, not like in a negative way, but value like aesthetics, mm-hmm. which I totally see in myself. And I think the other thing is like value like justice and fairness, which definitely kind of brings up before like the whole logical side of me. Like I'm very like, not like by the books, but like I have, I think sometimes to a fault to myself, but like a very strong, like guilty conscious and like mm-hmm. moral compass. And like, mm-hmm. I'm very big on like right and wrong. And then Sagittarius moon, I think, I mean, I don't know that much about them other than like what you tell me about you being a Sagittarius.
I think you're like really independent.
Yeah. Is that Sagittarius?
Yeah. Sagittarius are really independent and they're also like big, like they love travelers.
Yeah. Just like.
They're just like more very into energy. Like adventure and traveling. So I see that in you. Yeah. Okay, second question. I feel like I already know your answer to this. I was going to ask you, what's your favorite color? But I feel like it changes.
Oh my God, I have no idea. No, I do. It's green.
Green. Okay, yeah. I see that for you. Like plants and everything, I think. I feel like it's a color I don't wear often, but like I like in like decor and stuff.
I've always loved green. And I like, you know, it's like when you, it's like the classic kind of trope of like when you find a song and then like later it becomes popular and you're like, oh, I found it first and you don't even like it.
That was
That's
green.
How I felt with the color green. Because I love the color green and no one ever, everyone's like, my hair is blue or pink.
Or pink.
Or purple.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would like green, and now it's like huge. Yeah. Everyone's wearing
sage green. Green, literally so big.
All shades of green. I think it's because my eyes are green. I always wear when I was younger because I thought I made them look nice. But it's also like plants and nature.
Yeah, exactly. I think the nature element and like what it symbolizes is huge.
Yeah.
Okay, love that. Okay, third question. What's a good book you've read recently that you'd recommend?
I have not been reading enough.
Honestly, same. Honestly, same. I was like, I don't know if either of us have read a good book recently. We can change it to movie or show.
Okay, let me think. I'm trying to think of like something that's not just like it was good because it was like entertaining. Like, I like The Perfect Match and you.
Yeah, I know. I just finished Ginny and Georgia and I was like, I need season 3.
Oh, Ginny and Georgia is really good. Wait, I need to think of a good answer.
Like something that's like, it doesn't have to be that deep.
Okay, you know what? It doesn't. And I can like rant about this forever, but like people will just minimize things that women like reality TV and like make it sound stupid. And it's not.
Sometimes that gets like embedded in our head and you're
Fuck, you find
I can't
yourself
say reality
like,
TV.
You're like falling into that like societal trope of like, oh, that's like a silly, like girly thing to do.
Like
but
an
like
answer, yeah.
No, it teaches you about people.
Yeah, and honestly, women are like sometimes I just want to be entertained.
Yeah, and just turn your brain off. Oh, I love RuPaul's Drag Race. Oh, Next in Fashion's also been really good.
Oh, yeah, I haven't watched that. I need to start that.
It's really good. It's like RuPaul's Drag Race, but only the fashion episodes.
Okay.
I still like RuPaul better.
Yeah, no, honestly, I need to get back into books, but...
Me too. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight. Maybe not.
Yeah, we'll I know see. I say that every Sunday. Every night I say that.
We'll see.
Okay, last question. What does health mean to you?
I think it means, like, waking up every day... feeling excited for your day and like having the energy to do that, so like physically and mentally, but just like waking up without a sense of like dread to your day, like whatever it takes for you to get there, but wake up being like another day on this planet.
Yeah, no, I love that. Hopefully tomorrow we wake up on our Monday morning with little dread.
Little dread, little Sunday scaries.
Yeah,
but I think overall most days I wake up that way.
Yeah, lately. I agree.
Not always though. Took a while to get here.
I agree. No, I love that. So if you want to plug yourself and where people can find you, that'd be great.
Sure. So my Instagram and my TikTok are at Noah Marader. I'm sure you'll have it spelled out somewhere. I'm not going to embarrass myself speaking out my name because no one ever can. And then I also have a podcast. We just record an episode for it together as well. It's called You Are Not Too Busy Podcast. And that's anywhere you can find podcasts.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's perfect. Thanks so much for coming on. I hope you guys love this episode. I'll also link the episode I'm on Gnome's podcast. But yeah, I hope you guys have a fabulous rest of your week. I'll talk to you next week.